This was many, many years ago. And this really is, as it's listed, is tips to overcome fear, despondency, anxiety, sorrow, and even boredom, which is also a problem in spiritual life. But I'm going to read number two first, because number one is probably even more important than number two, and the wonder of it will be evident. But tip number two is, for most of your available time, think of the Divine Mother, think of Bhagavan Ramana, which is constant remembrance, satata smarana, remembrance of God. You say, do japa mentally, incessantly, and as far as possible on all occasions, even while walking, eating, etc. This is to be done, to remember God.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, sure.
It's one of the most important things.
That's right, it's very important.
But number one is, do not be ambitious and expecting results for your actions, even in sadhana. Do not complain, evaluate, demand, fret, and fume about your so-called progress.
I used to do that.
So, that's number one. Even more than remembering God.
I have already told about progress. I shall repeat again. There is no question of a progress at all. You see, now, you are walking in the street. Suddenly, due to some problem, you began to think, I'm a horse. So, I'm a horse. You are definitely convinced, you go there. Now you tell everybody, I'm a horse. 1 year over, 2 year over, 3 years over. Then, some secretary comes, he's going on hearing your problems, and he's with you. Yes, you are a horse, but not a full horse. You are half man and half horse. Then later on, he said, you are a full man. And somehow, due to the secretary's sessions, he is able to convince him that he is now a man. He is convinced. Now, did he progress from a horse? From a horse to a cow, from a cow to an ordinary man? Not at all. There is an illusion. The illusion was taken away in one moment. See, after several sessions of hypnotism, in one moment, the delusion was taken away. See, you are a billionaire. Some contractor gave you 20 lakhs of rupees. You are having it in your pocket and you are going to sleep. And you forgot to keep it in a treasure box. And in the dream you see that before one of the biggest of temples, say temple or natural festival day, you are standing outside as a beggar. And you are telling people, you are going and giving a ratramukta, a big diadem to the Lord. And it is after all a stone. What can it do? I am here, a live man. I have not taken meat or food. God, if you will give me 10 rupees. Now, at this moment, is he a beggar or is he a billionaire?
Yes.
He's having 20 lakhs of rupees in his pocket. It was only a delusion. He was very much a billionaire at that time. He had never been a beggar. It was only a quirk of the mind. It was only a delusion of the mind. Now, in the morning when he gets up, he becomes a billionaire again. So what progress was there? There is no progress. Early morning when he got up, the entire devil was over in a second. It was over in a second. He didn't progress from a beggar to a 100-rupee clerk, from a 100-rupee clerk to an officer, from an officer to a general manager, and then rich. Not at all. There is no progress at all. Where is the question of a progress here? You go on doing it, then let there be sufficient hypnotism that I am the Atman, I am the Brahman, I am the totality, I am the mother's child, I am not an ordinary man. So you go on thinking of it, and you not only begin to believe it, you become that. Because that is your original nature. So you are only dehypnotizing, you are not hypnotizing to a new delusion. You are not going from one delusion to another delusion. From a delusion you are coming back to your original figure, which you forgot. So this is much easier. And There has never been a progress here. Don't think of a progress. It is only a question of the delusion going away. The delusion will go when, because the delusion, how deep the delusion had been, it depends on it. For births and births and births you have been deluded that I am ignorant, I am nobody, I am ignorant. So to counter it, half an hour of one day is thinking of the Lord, or 4 hours of thinking of the Lord, will it do out of 24 hours? When you have been for 24 lakhs of births, when you have been thinking that I am this, I am that, I am an ignorant man, and now in one birth, you are just doing it for 2 hours, 3 hours, or perhaps half a day, or perhaps the entire day. How many days will it take? Do you think 24 lakhs can be, lakhs of birth can be compensated by 24 hours of you for 10 days? It will take again birth, at least 10 more birth, 5 more birth. But the Lord in His compassion, He can, see, just as a man who is sentenced over 24 years for good conduct, they say, all right, when 18 years are over, we are releasing you because you have had a good conduct. So similarly, the God in His mercy can give it much early. So it has no relation to the total number of years where you are ignorant. So He can do it in no moment. He can do it in 10 years. So yes. Do not be impatient. Be patient as if the entire thing would take another billion years. But have the enthusiasm. Do not fall into depression. Do not fall into despair. Think that I am going to give it in 15 minutes. God has told I am going to give it. So another 15 minutes. So do it every 15 minutes with that enthusiasm. Another 15 minutes. Another 15 minutes. Go on like that.
Yes.
So this is essential. So this as far as progress can. Progress can be had only for gross things. Number one. Say the house is being built. You can say it has been built up to the foundation. It has been built up to the wall level. It has been built up to the plinth level. This is something absolutely abstruse and highly subtle, sukshma vastu. So how can even if there is a progress, you cannot see it at all. You cannot see it at all. Even if you do it for 1,000 years, for something which is subtle, you cannot see it. How much you have to see. I mean, this is even if you think that there can be a progress. So in any circumstances whatsoever, you cannot see your progress at all. You have to take it for granted. Have taken the mother's name 20 times. See, again I quote what I have quoted already. A question was raised by Adi Shankara in one of the shlokas in Shivananda Lahari. He says, Yeko Varja Bandhava Kshitanabho Vyaktam Tamo Mandala. There is only one sun, and when the dusk falls, there's a thick darkness which extends from Kshiti, from the Bhumi, Nabho, up to the sky. Kshitanabho Vyaktam Tamo Mandala. The entire darkness, it spreads from down below up to the extent you can never see. It is so thick, in spite of it, throughout the night, the sun works hard so that when the morning comes, he is able to penetrate that darkness and come out. Sir, there are shlokas which say, Koti Surya Samaprabha, the Lord has got effulgence equal to that of crores of suns. When one sun can do this much, how is it that one who has got the effulgence of crores of suns, he is unable to penetrate this darkness of mine? Now, Shankara says, you are putting the question wrongly. You put the question this way and say, if this much of darkness could be taken away by one sun, and if my darkness cannot be removed even by crores of suns, how much darkness you have accumulated over the births? You have accumulated so much, so much, so much of darkness, it will take 20 lakhs of births before you can remove it. So no one crore of suns can remove it. You have got Sauti. It is you who have done it, and you are blaming the Lord. possible. So take it that every second you have taken the Lord's name, it removes a lot of darkness. But still so much is left, so much is left. Remember. And naturally, it will take plenty of practice, incessantly, constantly taking the Lord's name, taking the Lord's mantra if possible, or the name, or simply remembering as God, Mother. And the grace of the Lord, the grace of the Guru, if any, all these things work together, you can get it. See, don't apply any mathematics at all. Lord doesn't know mathematics. He knows in his days there is no maths when he studied. So there is no maps. When he wills, he gives it. And you take it, he has got his own logic, which you and I cannot find out. He is more logical than the best of the logicians. Take it 100%. He is more just than the justice, than the best justice in the world. So in everything, he exalts you. So you cannot blame him in anything. He is blemishless. Only thing is, you are unable to understand, that doesn't mean that God is committed to blunder.
Right.
So we have to be patient. We have to complete it. That is where the faith comes. I have told from the very beginning, faith and love. There cannot be any practice without faith and love. First develop it. Full faith that my Guru has given it. His mantra is there. And the Lord is definitely there. The Lord is very compassionate. He will have to look after me. I cannot be a dropout. In the spiritual field, there cannot be dropouts. There can be dropouts in MBBS. There can be dropouts in BDS. There can never be a dropout in the spiritual field. Everybody, because you are He. You are His own. Mm-hmm. How can He abandon you? He cannot, even if He wants. You are sitting in His lap and clinging to Him with a glue which cannot be removed by any means. So how can he cannot abandon you?
Yes, Swamiji, it's true, and many people have said they do a lot of practice and they know and they hear these words that the Lord is embracing us, but still they don't feel it. And so they come away saying, when will the Lord come to me? And then here you say, if we try to accept whatever comes to us from God naturally during our sadhana, after doing this, and after we forfeit all of our rights, because we feel we are human, we have rights, then only the Divine Mother will step in.
See, look here. Even in the normal life, you forget your rights. You always do your duty. As with the other person is concerned, you forget his duties. You do only his rights. Whatever he thinks is right, duty. This is the way to avoid all unnecessary quarrels in worldly matters. Give it to him whatever he wants. And you never insist on your rights. You only do your duties. You don't bother if your rights are not honored. Ultimately, everything is done by the Lord's will. Remember, you cannot drop a handkerchief unless he consents to it. So, nothing is done by anybody. If somebody comes and beats me, he cannot beat me unless the Lord has willed it so. Then why should the Lord unnecessarily have me beaten? It's to, naturally, we have done a lot of sins. See, in this birth, even if you have not done, you do not know what you have done in your previous birth. And you have to have the retribution for it. That's very essential. So, accept it with pleasure, then naturally, you won't feel it, and the Lord will be so pleased that He can even write off some of your sins and He will give it to you early.
So all the trouble in the world comes not from the world, but from our reaction to it.
Our own reactions. Absolutely so. Ultimately, we go to a stage where we are one with Him, where we are completely surrendered. When you are completely surrendered, you have no business to be unhappy, you have no business to be happy. Absolutely no reaction.
But then negative thoughts come. And in this next point, you say, in spite of all the specifics of sadhana and all of our efforts in sadhana, negative feelings come and these negative thoughts overtake us. So you're saying now we must not yield to them, but reject outright every time such thoughts arise. And this is done through mantra japa and intense prayer to God to get out of the negative energy field.
Yes. Why should negative thoughts come to us? There are two or three reasons. Number one is, these are the conditioning from the previous birth. In the previous birth, I was subject to fear, I was subject to despondency, I was subject to despair, so they follow me now. And any tendencies can be wiped off with a strong willpower. It is not compulsory. Prarabdha is compulsory, vasanas are not compulsory. They are only tendencies, and you can change your tendencies at any time with a strong willpower. So this is number one. And number two is, the external environments, they go on changing in their gunas. This time, the sattva-guna will be predominating because the number of sadhus have come. Because here in Arunachala temple, they are going to have a festival. So many sadhus have come. So it is predominant with sattva-guna. And after a week more, they are going to all exhibitions and all that, all play and all that outside. The government is organizing. Naturally, it has nothing to do with spirituality. And you are there. And such people are coming here. So it will be full of rajoguna. And it is going to affect you. So that rajoguna, that sattva-guna, so the environment affects you. But anything external, it is not part of you. It is not intrinsic to you. So it can be removed by your continued perseverance of japa, taking the name of the Lord, and your meditation. That's all.
So it was in this vein that the great Swami Sivananda Rishikesh said, if you want to change your vasanas, if you want to change your fate, simply change your habits. Just change your habits. Take the habit of negligence and infuse into your life japa of remembrance of the Lord and prayer.
Exactly. See, that is the, I would say, it's the panacea for all ills. Meditation, prayers, constant remembrance. If these three, even if one of them is adopted, they are sufficient to take away any illness which comes to us. I am not talking of physical illness, the illness of the mind.
Yes. And then finally, you say, renounce the world internally.
Yes. See, what happens is, you are still in the world. You haven't become a monk. So it is not possible for you to take your family and then put them all in the Pacific Ocean and then go to the forest. You have to manage. You have to feed them. So those things are there. So what you can do is, you can simply imitate what happens in your sleep, in your waking state. That's all. In your sleep, what happens? People are all there around you. Your wife is sleeping next to you. Your child is sleeping, keeping its legs on your tummy. And the fan is there. You are not aware of anything. You are not aware of your son. You are not aware of your wife. Not to speak of them, you are not aware of your own body. You are not aware of your own hand. You are not aware of your own tummy. Then what? Then what happens then? There's only a consciousness of existence. There is that existence which always exists. So only that exists. You do not exist at that time. But at the same time, you cannot say you do not exist. Because early morning you come out and say, oh, I had a nice sleep. Then how did you know? Then you are not conscious.
Yes.
Because when you are asleep, somebody in you, your other unit, it was awake. It is always awake, it never goes to sleep. And that has given you that idea, hey, you slept very well. You will be communicating to others. What is your question?
Well, the idea is, renounce the world internally.
Externally, yes. So, naturally, when you don't like something, when you do not want, the thing is glued to you. It's not easy to remove it externally. Be a meditator and absolutely you cut off the relationship of your mind with it. This is what you have done at night. They were all there by your side, including your body, but your relationship, this is my body, my wife, my son, my money, my fan, nothing remained. You have cut off your mind's relationship with all those objects at that time. Why can't you do it consciously? Why the light? They have given you an example at night. When you are capable of doing it, try it. So if you try it, you can achieve it. And that is what is called the internal renunciation. So long as you are in the family life, outwardly, the son is ill. Oh my Lord, my dear son, don't worry, you will become okay. You give him solace, take him to the hospital, you admit him. And if your wife is having a headache, you keep a note. Remember to ask your wife about a headache 3 times during the day. So when you are in the office, 3 times, my dear, how is your headache? That's all over. She is a headache, no doubt.
But in that vein, it's interesting because people might get the wrong connotation thinking, I'll just be oblivious to the world and cut it off. But now the next point clarifies what should be done. Because it is said, any duty of the world which is thrust upon us by circumstances should be done with minimum interest but with maximum efficiency.
You see, there here the word interest has got a different connotation. When you say maximum efficiency, without an interest you won't do it. So in the work which is assigned to you, you have the interest. But what happens is, because of ambition, supposing your colleague, general manager goes on leave, sir, you can't put anybody else, you need not put anybody else, sir, I will look after his job also. This is the interest. I mean the external, the extra interest and everything else in order to get your promotion, in order to please your boss, that is not required. Actually, I have not explained it because Anju raised the question now. Then I told her, efficiency cannot be without interest. When you don't have interest, how can you get the efficiency? So it is there on that job, but this is for extra assignment. You do your job. Don't go and volunteer for other things. That is there. So you do the minimum. That's all. Whatever is required, you do it with efficiency. Why? Because the entire world belongs to the Lord. Even though you may be working for a baniya, that is for a merchant, you are not contributing, you are not working for him only. All the things belong to the ultimate boss, is the Lord. So you are working for the Lord. Wherever you may work, for the government, for the private persons, and whatever may be the type of work, remember you are doing it all for the Lord. Because the Lord has trusted it on you, you have to do it efficiently. So that is why we have to do it with full efficiency. And not only that, it is told at one time in Kiva, a beautiful one. He says, a person, he knows that there is no use of doing the karmas, all these things, rituals and other things. But when he knows the other man is interested in that only, don't discourage him and say, hey, what can karma do? Nothing, it's all useless. You cannot tell him. Till he comes out of that intoxication, he has to continue to do the karmas. And it is told, you encourage him in doing that by yourself doing that karma, such similar karmas to him, with the same interest with which you expect him to do. For instance, it is prohibited a sannyasi should do any external puja. Bhakya puja nakartavya. He is not to do any puja. But people do it for 2 reasons. The modern sannyasis do in order to impress his audience. Because if he doesn't do, oh, you don't know. My guru does it for 4 words. Ah, it is worth seeing, man. You cannot get out of it. Only for that he does. And there are other people who have to do. If he doesn't do, a common man who has to do, he says, ah, the great Shankaracharya doesn't do any puja, what should I do, man? So in order to set an example, he has to do it. Even though it is